Yeah. What's going on? Welcome to the jungle. My name is Jim Rome. Normally reserved for a Friday deck of yeah, but I'm coming off a week off, so you know I'm going to fire up this Monday and do it. Welcome to the show. Program is brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Hope you had a great week. You know, sometimes we need to do that, clones. I need a week off of you. You need a week off of me. We appreciate each other so much more when I come back, and that's how it feels right now. So if there's something you want to hit on, you want to do it right now. Big, big night. NCAA championship game this evening. I want to get to that, of course. I've got some NFL. I've got some Major League Baseball. I've got a recap of the week I had off. I would love to get a recap from you for your week away from me. Let's go ahead and do this. We have a smack-off date, which I dropped before I left for vacation, so we have a lot to get done. Telephone number is 1-800-636-8686. 1-800-636-8686. You can follow me on Twitter, please, at Jim Rome. Email me at Rome, R-O-M-E, at haveatake.com. I will set the program for you momentarily. You've got a telephone number. You've got a way to find me on Twitter. You can also hit me up on email. I am efforting a podcast with the Masters coming up. If anybody has seen Elk, remind him that I'm looking for him. And I've got an interview coming up next segment. Pete Thamel is a national college basketball reporter for Yahoo Sports. That's coming up next segment. Second hour is wide open. In the third hour, we go back to back. Buzz Williams is the new head coach at Texas A&M. We'll have a conversation with him. Jerry Stackhouse, one of my all-time favorites, is the new head basketball coach at Vanderbilt. And he will be joining us in the final segment of the program. And for last week, I want to thank the guys who filled in for me, Grant Napier, Gary Parrish, and Bill Ryder. Hope you had fun with that. All right, let's get started. Tonight, 6:20 p.m. Pacific, 9:20 p.m. Eastern, CBS, the national title game, Virginia and Texas Tech. And let me start by repeating the last part of that. Texas Tech is in the national championship game in basketball. The Red Raiders are going to the national title game in basketball. I mean, hell, if they were to do that in football, that'd be incredible. The fact that it's happening in basketball is unreal. And no, Virginia Texas Tech may not be the Duke UNC rematch that everybody was hoping for. And yes, these two may end up ugling it up a little bit. I mean, know that going in, but also know this. These are two damn good basketball teams, two really good teams, and it's a matchup that was impossible to imagine only a few months back, and now it's only a few hours away, and it's incredible, absolutely incredible to me. Virginia, the team that made the worst kind of history last year, could make the very best kind of history tonight. Texas Tech, a school without much basketball history at all, has practically made history every single time they have stepped on the floor this year, and they've got a chance to do it once again. Look at the coaches. Tony Bennett handled the worst loss in the best possible way ever. They came into this year with the mantra of run to the roar. In other words, do not ignore what happened against UMBC. Go ahead and embrace it. And now he's got his team playing for the national championship. Class act, obviously. Great coach. And then you've got my man, Chris Beard. All Chris Beard does is win. He shows up and he wins, freaking every place he has ever been on every level, in places where it's not easy to win, much less win big. Little Rock, Texas Tech, give this guy grease board and a chance to recruit, and he will give you a team that wins. Again, Texas Tech is in the national championship game in basketball. I mean, it's absurd. It's a joke. And they didn't fluke their way there either. Nothing fluky about this. Nothing cheap. Nothing lucky. Look at the last four coaches that Beard beat. Tom Izzo, Mark Few, John Beilein, Nate Oates. One Hall of Famer, two future Hall of Famers, and the guy who just got hired at Alabama. Let's talk about the weekend. Those games on Saturday night, were they any good? I can answer that for you. They sure as hell were. Why don't we start with the second game and work backwards? Because the second game was vintage Chris Beard, Texas Tech. Red Raiders absolutely took it to Michigan State. Tom Izzo said, quote, "We prided ourselves on being the toughest team. Tonight, we weren't, end quote. But then again, that's what Chris Beard's team will do. They lock you up, even when you know it's coming. Even when you expect it, they're still going to make it 40 minutes of living hell. But don't get too focused on that defense. See, to me, this is where this is all getting lost in translation. It's a great defensive team. And I don't mean great this year, because they are the best team in America defensively. I mean great historically. But when you get so caught up in that defense, you don't give them credit for their offense. They can score the ball now. And they did exactly that when they had to. Late in the game against Michigan State, and then they put them away. Tech made it look like they had been there before, even though they had never been there before. And they made it look a hell of a lot easier than it actually was. And speaking of easy, there was nothing easy about Auburn, Virginia. In fact, that was insane. Auburn, Virginia was insane. Now, let me get three things out of the way really quickly. Going back to Saturday, number one, yes, it was a foul. Yes, it was a foul. Yes, it was a double-double and double-dribble, I should say. And yes, it really, really sucks for Auburn. Let me run those three things by you again really quickly. Yes, it was a foul. Yes, it was a double dribble. And yes, that really, really sucks for Auburn. But before we get to the final seconds, go back a little bit earlier. Go back to Kyle Guy getting the ball with 9 seconds left, down four, and then doing this.
10 seconds to go into the corner. Guy launching a three. Got it! A three in the right corner. Good with 6.5 seconds to go. It's a one-point game and a foul before the inbound.
That's Westwood one. And follow the attention on guys' free throws and that double dribble. Do not sleep on that three because that was absurd. Miss that, the game is over. But it wasn't. Get used to hearing that phrase because you're about to hear it a lot. Guy drained it to make it 61-60 Auburn. The Tigers hit one of two foul shots, and then Ty Jerome was bringing the ball up for Virginia.
5.4 to go. Jerome lost it for a moment. And now another foul. They had another foul to give.
That other foul might have bailed out Jerome right there in that situation.
No kidding.
Absolutely.
Because that was going to be just the desperate heat from just inside the midcourt stripe.
And they knew heady play, well-coached, well-schooled, very aware.
Timeout, Virginia.
So the foul was called, but yes, as everybody realized, there was a double dribble before the foul. The ball went off Jerome's foot. He grabbed it with both hands. He continued dribbling again, but the ref never saw that. Hell, almost nobody saw that. So a shout out to my man, Gene Steratore, for breaking the entire thing down. The ref was so locked in on looking for an Auburn foul because he had one to give that the double dribble was completely missed. And yes, Auburn fans, if that double dribble is called, the game is over. But it wasn't. And it was about to get worse. Roll it.
Down by two, 62-60. Jerome slaps the basketball. Looking, peering, finds Guy in the left corner. 4-3 and the win! Off the rim, no good! And the Tigers claw back, but wait! Was there a foul? Was there a foul in the corner? The clock is at zeros, but Auburn fouled the shooter. Bruce Pearl is at half court. He can't believe it!
In other words, it's over. Auburn wins. They're going to the national championship game. Excuse me, my bad. Because off the inbounds, the ball went to Guy for three, and he missed, so the game was over. But it wasn't because he was fouled in the act of shooting. And yes, again, that's a foul. And no, I'm not interested in hearing that the refs should swallow the whistle there. If it's a foul in the first minute, it's a foul in the 39th minute. That said, if they didn't call it, I wouldn't have been surprised, but they did call it, and it was a foul. Samir Dowdy left his feet in one location, he landed in another, he made contact along the way, and as Steratore called it, that's an A to B jump, that's a foul. Kyle Guy goes to the line for three foul shots with 0.6 seconds left. He needed two for the tie, three for the lead, two to keep the season alive, three to put them in the national title game, roll it.
But Guy will be at the line for three. Wow.
I'll tell you, if you're Virginia, this is the guy you want on the line. Your first team All-ACC player.
81%.
He's tied it.
Wow, this is unbelievable. Wow.
What a finish.
Unbelievable ending.
So those first two free throws were clutch as hell. Kyle Guy is clutch as hell. My man doesn't just have ice water in his veins. He's got giant ice cubes traveling through them because there was no hesitation, no indication of pressure in that moment. And then after a timeout, here comes the third.
We need overtime tonight, or will Kyle Guy's free throw be the margin of difference? Free throw is up. It is good. Virginia by one. 0.6 seconds to go. 63-62. Dangel Purifoy will inbound for Auburn. Purifoy holds the ball. 0.6 seconds left. Purifoy throws it in. Caught. Brown. Turnaround. No. And Virginia 63. Auburn 62. The Cavaliers will play for their first national championship.
Right. Auburn tried a desperation shot. It did not go. Virginia advances with one of the most clutch final 10 seconds you're ever going to see. And then the only thing cooler than Guy at the foul line was Guy admitting in the post-game interview that he was nervous. Now, in the eyes of some, UVA went from the most boring team ever to the most exciting team ever, and they were never the most boring team ever. But that is the most brutal loss ever for Auburn. Battled their asses off to get to that game, to have the lead late in that game where they came all the way back and it fell apart in the worst way. And man, there are so many what-ifs, so many what-might-have-beens. If Guy doesn't hit that ridiculous three with under 10 to go, Auburn wins. If Ty Jerome is called for a double dribble, Auburn wins. If they make that second foul shot with 7 seconds left, Virginia can only tie. If they don't have an extra foul to give, the ref might even see that double dribble. And if they don't foul Guy in the corner, Auburn wins. And if Kyle Guy isn't the clutchest guy on the planet, Auburn wins. Then again, if they hit more than 29% from three, Auburn wins. What I'm saying is this, a long way of saying this. Auburn got jobbed on that missed double dribble, but that's not why they lost that game. Auburn fan, that's not why you lost that game. Sure, you deserved to win. Sure, you ran a winning race. Yes, you ran your eyeballs out. You just didn't win. That happens sometimes, and it sucks. It really sucks because it took all of that for Virginia to win, and now they face Texas Tech. You're not easy to cover the whole weekend in one open, but I just did. Sucks for Auburn, but that's not why they lost. Two teams that deserve it most are there. Who you got? Texas Tech and Virginia. I checked that line. It's down to 1 where I saw it. Tonight, 6:20 p.m. Pacific, 9:20 p.m. Eastern, CBS. The national title game, Virginia and Texas Tech. Let's do it. Let's do it. I got to get to break. Other things really quickly I want to hit on today. Yasiel Puig trying to give the entire city of Pittsburgh the hands. Yasiel, my man. It's Cincinnati. You're welcome. From us to you, you're welcome. We'll talk about that. I want to talk about Chris Davis pursuing a record that nobody wants. The Dodgers out quickly. The Red Sox are struggling. Quick recap of my week in Mexico. And Antonio Brown, man. I knew it. I should not have given that guy the credit that I gave him when he showed up in Oakland. I thought he figured it out. He's learned nothing. Man, such a bad look, AB. Such a bad look. All that coming up. Pete Thamel coming up next. And then the second hour is wide open. Clones, I really do want to hear from you. Hit me up. It's toll free. Warmer weather is finally here. That means it's time for spring cleaning. You could spruce up the house and the yard, but for a really fresh start, get a Casper mattress. It'll help you wake up feeling refreshed and ready to enjoy this beautiful weather. The Casper mattress combines 4 layers of pressure, relieving foams for all the night comfort that you need. It's softer under your shoulders. It's firmer under your hips. That provides for healthy alignment and extra support. And the breathable foams are designed to keep you cool all night long. With bedding, bed frames, even a dog bed, Casper has everything your whole family needs for a guaranteed great night of sleep. All mattress orders also have free shipping and free returns, so you can try your Casper in your own home for 100 nights risk-free. You will love sleeping on a Casper mattress. Go to Casper.com, use the code ROME, get $100 off towards the purchase of select mattresses. Casper.com, code ROME, and get $100 off towards the purchase of select mattresses. Additional fees may apply for Alaska and Hawaii. Terms and conditions do apply here. Once again, Casper.com, code name ROME.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Welcome back. Big Monday. My first day back after a week off. It's so good to be here. Second hour is wide open. And a quick reminder, in hour number three, I've got the new head basketball coach at Texas A&M, Buzz Williams. Also, the new head basketball coach at Vanderbilt, Jerry Stackhouse. But as promised, we are joined right now by a national college football and basketball reporter for Yahoo Sports. He's all over a number of these issues. We are joined by Pete Thamel. Pete, great to have you back. How are you?
Jim, thanks for having me, man. Appreciate it.
Good to have you, Pete. Thanks for doing it. Let me start, Pete, with this. Let me start with a sentence that I never thought that I'd ever say. Texas Tech is about to play for the national title in basketball. I mean, what's your reaction when you hear that?
Yeah, you know, look, if you really follow sport, you're not surprised. Chris Beard is really emerged in the past two seasons as just the supernova coach who I think is going to be one of the faces of the game for the next 20 years if he chooses to stay in college. He has all of the great qualities of his old mentor, Bob Knight, in terms of the tactical genius and the motion offense that nobody runs anymore, and the man-to-man defense that made Knight famous, and the ability to make a team play hard. And look, they made the Elite Eight last year, played Villanova. Remember, Villanova blew out both Final Four teams that they played. Texas Tech played them tougher than anyone else in the NCAA tournament last year. So, you know, the last two seasons, Beard has really established himself, but he basically lost a first-round pick in Zaire Smith, resuscitated the roster with eight new guys, and brought back a better team, which is an amazing compliment. So, yes, on the surface, certainly it is stunning that Texas Tech is on the cusp of winning, and I think they are going to win tonight. But, you know, it is just this game can change so fast now. Rosters are so fluid. One and done just make the landscape so volatile that it's allowed for maybe non-traditional places like Texas Tech with a great coach and very good players in an excellent system to become consistently excellent in a short period of time.
Pete Thamel joining us. He's a college football writer, national college football and basketball reporter, actually, for Yahoo Sports. You know, Pete, then you go to Virginia, and if you go back to Saturday night, what was the atmosphere like in the final minute, and then what was it like when Kyle Guy hit that three with less than 10 seconds to go?
Well, I mean, the whole atmosphere of the final 10 seconds were just nuts. The thing I'll never forget about that 10 years from now, Jim, is that essentially everyone in the arena thought that Virginia lost. When with 1.5 seconds left, they're going from out of bounds, and obviously Guy goes up for that shot. Guy puts his jersey over his face. He thinks they've lost. The referee blows the whistle, calls the foul. Samir Doty ends up, he said after the game, the Auburn guard, he said, "I thought we won the game." Like, so it was just this weird, chaotic mix of emotions that were sort of, in reality, was communicated slowly. And so everyone in this, like, massive 72,000-seat arena was basically confused.
So, Pete, what about the now famous foul on what appeared to be the final play in regulation? What did you and everybody around you make of that call at that time?
So in real time, I didn't have a great look at it, but I thought, Jim, like, it could have been a foul. In my estimation, by the purest definitions of the rules, it was definitely a foul. If they had not called it a foul, we would not be sitting here 48 hours later discussing it. It would have been like, there's a little contact. You know, he had a tough shot to attempt to win the game, and he missed, and everybody would have moved on, and Auburn would have been playing in the game. So by going by the pure letter of the rules, which I'm not saying is the wrong thing to do, they did invite some controversy. And I think the interesting reverberation from that will be tonight. So 2 years ago, you had that awful Carolina-Gonzaga game that the referees hijacked and just turned into their own personal zebra show. And then last night, Saturday night, obviously, the referees became the story. So I think tonight, with two really hard-edged defensive teams, you're going to see a very loosely called game, which I think will be good because we need all the movement and flow we can because, you know, this thing's destined for the high 50s.
No, right. They could ugly it up. And I made the point earlier, they could ugly it up, but it's still two damn good basketball teams. Pete Thamel joining us. So, Pete, a final thought then about Auburn. If you're Bruce Pearl and you're Auburn, how do you go about processing that loss?
Well, I mean, probably the same way New Mexico State did when they lost the same way to the opening round to Auburn. I mean, it's gutting anytime you lose in this tournament to do it at that level. Bruce's reaction to the call was as raw and emotional of a coach reaction to anything. Because, I mean, he literally saw his hopes and dreams ripped away right in front of him. And his son, Stephen Pearl, at the end of the game, ran halfway across the court to yell at one of the officials. It was, you know, look, I give Auburn credit, though. In that locker room, they handled that gutting, galling, controversial loss as classy as any team I've ever seen. I'm fairly certain there were some instructions to do it like that, but Samir Doty sat there for 40 minutes and answered every question about, you know, one of the low moments of his professional life. And I give them a ton of credit for the way they handled it.
We're talking to Pete Thamel. All right, Pete, so as you look at the matchup tonight, what is the biggest question in your mind?
Well, we've had two sort of disappearing stars on Saturday night. Jarrett Culver was 1-for-10 until the final 3 minutes, and then he made a couple shots, including the dagger three in the Texas Tech-Michigan State game. Culver is obviously the lottery pick, who's the best player on Tech. DeAndre Hunter has been missing in action on offensive end for large portions of this NCAA tournament, but he came and hit all five of his shots in the second half in the semifinal for Virginia. So I think the ability for those stars to establish themselves consistently on offense is going to be key. Look, this is not going to be a sexy game, right? So it's going to be like, who makes contested jumpers late in the shot clock? That's really, like, I talked to five coaches yesterday for a breakdown story. That's sort of what it comes down to. Virginia's a great jump shooting team. The key going into the game, if people are monitoring it, is the health of Tariq Owens, who's like this 6'10 Keon Clark clone, who's just this jumping jack in the middle and an elite shot blocker. He blocks 12% of all shots that go up when he's on the floor, which is an amazing number. He injured his ankle somewhat gruesomely on Saturday night. He was in a walking boot yesterday. Beard said he expects him to play, but there's no guarantees, and he did return, maybe on adrenaline. So his ability to be completely healthy and springy and guard the rim allows Texas Tech to do a lot of what they do in their defensive sets. So yeah. I really feel like his health is going to be one of the key factors tonight.
Pete Thamel joining us for a few more moments. You know, you touched on this, Pete, but there's also a larger question when it comes to the matchup. There are future NBA players on the floor. You mentioned a couple of them, but it's a title game that does not have a huge star like Zion Williamson, with the expectation that the NBA is going to change the age requirement to enter the draft. Is this a matchup or a sign of things to come with this matchup?
Yeah, you know, I wrote about that on Saturday night off the second game, and it's interesting. Mike Krzyzewski gets really compelling comments in Washington, D.C. during the round of 16, and Jim Boeheim echoed those to me on Saturday night. The NCAA is completely unprepared, like laughably unprepared, for the next iteration of what basketball is going to look like. And essentially, the NBA is coming in and giving them competition to their billion-dollar business. And the NCAA basketball doesn't have anyone specifically in charge and is not ready for this next iteration of a more competitive environment for the top high school talent. And, you know, this isn't like pay the players millions, but there needs to be evolutions to help lure top players and make college basketball, which was something you had to do essentially, now a more marketable place to go. And there are certainly a lot of positives to college basketball, including the education, the marketing, the, you know, the gyms, the college experience, all that stuff. But if you can all of a sudden go and make $100,000 and start your professional career and be in a system in one of these G League teams, that's an option that didn't exist essentially in 2005. The G League was around, but it wasn't as refined as it is now. I really think that NCAA leaders, who essentially have been mocked by Hall of Fame coaches for their lack of preparedness, need to get their act together, or, you know, quite simply, they're going to start losing out on top talent.
Pete Thamel is our guest. All right, Pete, quickly before I let you go, you've been all over the coaching carousel this offseason. Man, this UCLA search is really something to me. They're still looking for a head coach. What do you make of how that search has played out?
Well, it's been a classic case of a bunch of people get together and they think they're smarter than they are, and they completely misvalued, I guess would be the right term, how good their job is and who would take it. When you go after John Calipari and you offer him less money to go to an inferior job, it's probably not going to work. And so that got them, like, that got the laugh track started. And then it's just been, you know, hit after hit. I mean, a place like TCU isn't going to give you a discount on a buyout. They're just not going to do it. What would there be an incentive? They have an elite coach in Jamie Dixon. Why would they cut you a deal to go? You know, that, there's been a lot of arrogance there, and there's been a distinct lack of preparedness, especially if you consider they fired Steve Alford on New Year's Eve. So, I mean, I think we're in day like 97 of this thing. Rick Barnes is the latest name that's shown interest, and it's almost like they need to get him because, I mean, it's just been embarrassment after embarrassment for UCLA and all this.
All right, so do they get Barnes, or do you think somebody else ends up with that job?
You know, it seems like they're down the road a little bit with Barnes, but it also seems like the window's open for him to go back to Tennessee, from what Evan Daniels of 247 reported this morning. Like, he was going to go talk to his AD there. So I don't know the answer to that. I think Barnes would be a nice hire and a good solution. He's an excellent basketball coach, as we've seen for three decades now, and it would be a good consolation prize. But They are definitely wandering in the wilderness if they don't get him.
He is a national college football and basketball reporter for Yahoo Sports, Pete Thamel, on a very busy day. Pete, really appreciate you, and thanks so much for doing that. Great job.
Hey, thank you, Jim.
All right, telephone number is toll-free. Your reaction to what he had to say. Lots of good talking points there. My thanks to Pete Thamel. Telephone number is toll-free, and we are open until hour number three, 1-800-636-8686. When we come back, more thoughts on that game. Who do you have tonight and why? Man, get on record with that right now. Don't call me tomorrow and say, hey, Rome, I couldn't get through. You might be able to. You probably could. Who do you have tonight and why? Which of these two teams is the team of destiny? I think you know who the jungle karma is behind. And the karma never fails. However, there's a first for everything. Also, when we come back, I want to talk about Yasiel Puig attempting to fight the entire state of Pennsylvania. Puig trying to let the hands go. Time now for a bottom of the first hour sports update. Here it is.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome back. I'm Jim Rome. Time to ask the pros, where you get to ask me a question, and it's brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. What you want to do is go to cbssportsradio.com/askthepros, drop your question there, listen later on, I might answer yours. And in the meantime, think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices, excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. Again, we are open until 20 past hour number three. Now is the perfect time to call the show, 1-800-636-8686. At Paulie T. Wall tweets, very delusional of UCLA thinking that they could lure Calipari away with an offer of less money. Regards, Hawk thinking he could knock an hour off his marathon time. Yeah, UCLA, I think, has approached this with, as Pete Thamel said, a certain level of arrogance, right? Like, John Calipari was going to take less money to come to UCLA. Why? Because it's UCLA? Sure he wasn't. So if you're UCLA and all these names keep coming up, you thought you could get Calipari, which was a joke. You thought you had Jamie Dixon, but you didn't. Also, to Pete Thamel's point, why would TCU cut UCLA a deal on their buyout of Jamie Dixon? Why? Because they're UCLA? I mean, isn't that like UCLA's response to everything? Because they're UCLA? Listen, it's still a good job. It's still a really good job, just not as good of a job as they think it is. Otherwise, they wouldn't assume that John Calipari would leave Kentucky for less money. Otherwise, they wouldn't assume that they could get Jamie Dixon on the cheap. So now, if you're UCLA, what do? If I were UCLA, I would take a check and I'd leave it blank and wait for the outcome of tonight's game, regardless, and then go to Chris Beard and say, fill out the amount. Now, of course, that's not the UCLA way. They don't spend money like that, but they should. They should if they want to come back. Because to Pete Thamel's point, and I love hearing that about Chris Beard, he goes, look, this guy's going to be a figure for the next 20 years in college basketball. And that's if he chooses to remain in college basketball. I could see either one of tonight's coaches bouncing for the NBA. Like, I can't see Tony Bennett leaving Virginia for another college job. Although it's kind of hard to imagine that Chris Beard, and I know that guys can stay in mid-majors or smaller programs and win big. I mean, look at what the guy's done in Lubbock. He doesn't need to go anywhere to win a national championship when he can win one right where he is tonight. But it's hard to imagine that somebody wouldn't back up the Brinks truck and get him to take their money. Hell, I could see Beard in the NBA. Or, again, if I were UCLA, I would drop a blank check on this guy's desk no matter what happens tonight and said, fill it out for us. You can start whenever you want. Jimmy, I think it's time to upsize this from this cup to a wheelbarrow. Regards, Kyle Guy. Dickie in NorCal. It's a good point, Dick. It's a really good point. Except when did they start wearing cups in basketball? Yeah, the guy's brass. He's got a big set. Ed, Total Big E tweets, Puig should have given the entire city of Pukesburg a shower instead of the hands. I'll get there in a minute. This email says, Rome, why is everybody making a big deal about some dude going 0 for 44? Signed, Caleb in Green Bay, trying to mate. Caleb, it's not how many no's, it's how many yeses. All it takes is one big yes, killa. Hey, Rome, was that a double dribble or a double play?
Double play.
Regards, Creed. Again, it was a foul. It was a double dribble. It was both. All right, I'll get to Yasiel Puig versus the state of Pennsylvania in a moment. But first, let us go to the ABQ. Is it not fitting that after a week off, my very first call back would be from Rex in Albuquerque? You know how you know I've had a week off? Listen to how eager I am to get to this phone call. Listen to how badly I want to talk to Rex. Listen to how great I sound. Rex, brother, what's going on?
Hey, Romy, it's great to hear from you again. You know, who does UCLA think they are? I don't see Aunt Becky stroking $500,000 checks so her Instagram model kid can go there. But the purpose for my call is, I don't know if you noticed this, but Brad and Corona called while you were gone to crack on your guest host. And I know it's the beginning of smack-off season, but I'm already getting Brad fatigue. You know, no doubt winning the Smack Off is Brad's biggest accomplishment since finding that trailer park in Corona with the free water and sewer hookups. But can we at least require a new picture of him for this year? I mean, look at him. That package is so small, UPS doesn't even require postage. How do you award a Smack Off to somebody that waxes their chest? You might as well mix in a few testosterone shots before.
I don't think he has such an appointment. I don't think he has a standing appointment annually or biannually for that. You were doing so well, Rex. You were doing so well. I was just about to rack that call, Rex. I really was. I mean, I really was. It is Smack Off season. In case you missed it before I went away for a week, I made the announcement that this year's Smack Off, the most important Smack Off, the 25th annual Smack Off, the Silver Smack Off, is on June 21st. Invite only. Rex, I can't invite you if you get run every single time you call. I know you'd make the Smack Off better, Rex. I just know you would. But you went to the dark side. Are you coming back or not, Rex? I want to put you in, Rex. Why will you not let me? Brad's in. Brad's not only in, he wins every year. And apparently Brad did make a call while I was away. Brad made a call because part of Brad's brand now is crucifying guest hosts when I do go away. And this week was no different.
The more pictures I see a star, the more convinced I am that my original assessment of why she's hanging out with you is 100% accurate, Grant. Star had her middle name legally changed to Star Primary Beneficiary Napier, which is ironic because not only is she getting all that money you got when you finally kicked the bucket, but in the meantime, she's the primary beneficiary of that massive hog you're wielding, Grant.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, my gosh is right. Thanks to Grant Napier. What a pro. Grant stepped in, did a great job. Gary Parrish was in. My man, Bill Ryder, back on the West Coast, back here in SoCal, and in our studios. Good job, fellas. Thanks for holding it down while I was gone. If you checked out my social, you know that I spent the last week in Mexico. I want to reset that trip for you, too. This email, speaking of Mexico, this email reads, Jaime, the team that will win is the team that gets screwed less by the refs. That is what sport has become. We don't get games anymore where the participants decide the winner. Inevitably, the zebras interject to mess it all up. Stephen S.A. Interesting point. All right, so what can we say about tonight's game? You know it's going to be a defensive struggle. You know it's not going to be the sexiest matchup. You know they're going to ugly it up. It's just the way they play. Now, that's not to say that there isn't a lot of skill in this matchup, because there is. These are two teams that can score the ball, but these are two teams that defend the hell out of it. And again, I'm not talking about two great defensive teams, because they are that. I'm talking about one great defensive team and one team that is historically great defensively. And no, you're not getting that Duke-North Carolina matchup that you wanted so badly. I'm all about this matchup. I love it. Two damn good teams. However, the one thing I really need, what I really need, is a clean game from an officiating standpoint. Man, I really don't want to have that conversation tomorrow. I hate the thought that I might have that conversation tomorrow. I hope not. And I'm not saying it's an easy thing to do. I'm not saying it's not a part of it. Let's just hope that the game is officiated cleanly and there's no controversy from that standpoint. At Total Big E, again, tweeting, quote, UCLA's arrogance is incredible. Yours, Paul Pierce, best NBAer ever. You notice I don't spend a whole lot of time on that discussion on this program. You know, the who's the GOAT, Kobe, Mike, Braun, Bill Russell. Notice I don't. But if I did, Paul Pierce would not be in that discussion. Unless Paul Pierce were a part of that discussion. Anybody else? 1-800-636-8686. So I mentioned I was in Mexico last week. If you were checking out my social while I was gone, you know that I made a run to Mexico, which was great. And again, for me and for you. For me and for you, clones. Face it, you need a little time away from me, and I definitely need a little time away from you. I was reminded of that the second I took Rex's call. Like, I was all fired up about it, and then Rex went Rex. But, you know, when I get away for a week, whenever that happens, we always seem to have a greater appreciation for one another. Even after all this time, all these years that I've done this, we have a greater appreciation for each other. And yes, I do take a lot of vacation. But do you know why that is? Do you know why I take so much vacation? Because I get so much vacation. So this time, the fam busts out to a spot that we like to go to in Mexico, Punta Mita. I used to be a huge Cabo guy back in the day, but in recent years, I've been all about Punta Mita. So I go into it with the same goal that I have every single vacation now. I'm at this part of my life where every time I go away for a week, I've got the same goal in mind. Number one, charge the battery. Number two, try not to consume twice as many calories as I burn. And that never works. Like, there's no way that 45 or 48 or 52 minutes of cardio is going to outdo the damage I'm doing during the day and at night. There's no way. Like, that workout, I can't outwork that vacation diet ever. I can't even maintain. So that's a losing proposition. And I lost again last week. It especially didn't happen on this trip either, since this trip happened to fall on our son Jake's 18th birthday. Jake turned 18 on the trip. One of the last trips before the college send-off for a kid where the legal drinking age is 18. So let's just say that the kid and the old man bumped into a couple. Maybe I shouldn't be proud of this fact. But the fact is, listen, you know my drill, right? I never picked up that habit of a beer or a glass of wine after work. In fact, I just don't. Monday through Thursday, ever. Unless I go to a business dinner, I just don't. But I'll have a cocktail on Friday night. I'll have a cocktail on Saturday. And then not on Sunday. So Sunday through Thursday, I never do it. But, you know, my two boys have seen me do this their entire lives. And we finally reached a point where I'd say, you know, you're a couple of good kids. Really good kids. Probably a couple of good dudes to have a cocktail with one day. One day. We always talk about that one day. Well, it was that one day last week, except it was seven of those days. A couple of those days. When we come back, I will finish that thought. And hopefully a good telephone call. Man, somebody pick me up. I'm back. It's good to be back. It's great to be back. Hit me up. 1-800-636-8686. Buzz Williams and Jerry Stackhouse in hour 3. Second hour is wide open, and we will return.